This morning on WCHL, federal funding for light rail in Orange and Durham counties is a go.
They have approved Triangle Transit's request to move the Durham-Orange light rail project into project development phase.
Teacher morale here in North Carolina is reportedly the lowest it's been in recent history.
Well, the General Assembly talks about recruiting and retaining teachers. They have to remember there's a third R, and that's respecting teachers.
And zoning code concerns could become a speed bump along the path of the FSS Fordham redevelopment process. These stories and much more, plus your Chapel Hill Carborough traffic and weather together. And WCHL Championship Sports, the blue and red rivalry is back tonight with a 9-game winning streak in favor of the Tar Heel men. Tar Heels have also won, just really been playing well and trying to double up the victory total against North Carolina State this year. Plus, we'll get you ready for the big county rivalry in the high school basketball state playoffs tonight. And
what's the difference between Raymond Felton and Plexico Burris? Hopefully a lot.
That's this morning in our Chansky Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's morning news with Ron Stutz begins now.
707, 37 degrees in Chapel Hill. Look for a high today in the middle 40s, partly sunny skies. It'll be cold tonight with the lows in the low 20s. Carborough Alderman Damon Siles started out Tuesday night's Board of Aldermen meeting with a highly anticipated announcement about the proposed light rail system between Orange and Durham counties. WCHL's Danny Hooley has more.
Tuesday night's agenda at Carborough's Board of Aldermen meeting was fairly routine business. There were scheduled votes on language to be added to the town's land use ordinance, as well as appointments to town boards. But Alderman Damon Siles started things off on a high note for his colleagues with this announcement.
I'm just really happy to be able to share the news that came out just late this afternoon that the Federal Transit Administration announced that they have approved Triangle Transit's request to move the Durham-Orange light rail project into project development phase.
Wow. So
that's the big news we've all been waiting for and really kind of expecting.
That begins a two-year process in which Triangle Transit studies the environmental impact of the proposed light rail system. After Tuesday night's meeting, Siles talked to WCHL about the significance of the news.
In the life of a large capital project like a light rail project of this kind, this is a major step in the process. And so to have cleared this hurdle with the Federal Transit Administration is not only, a validation of the work that all the planners and the voters and everyone in the community has been doing, but also is a vote of confidence by the federal government that they see this project having merit and it's something they're willing to invest money and time in.
The 17-mile light rail system between UNC Hospitals and Alston Avenue in Durham is part of the larger Orange County Bus and Rail Investment Plan slated for the next two decades. The light rail has a projected start of service in 2026. For more on this story, you can read about it at chapelborough.com. Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
In other news this morning on WCHL, State House 50 Representative Greg Meyer said the teacher morale in our local school districts and across North Carolina is currently the lowest he's experienced during his career in public education. Teachers in North Carolina have gone 6 years without a real pay raise, in addition to other setbacks. WCHL's Rachel Nash has more.
Well, the General Assembly talks about recruiting and retaining teachers. They have to remember there's a third R, and that's respecting teachers.
That's Meyer, who is also the Director of Student Equity and Volunteer Services for Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools. Meyer was appointed to the House 50 seat in October of last year. However, the General Assembly doesn't reconvene for the short session until May 14th, and the 2014 primary is May 6th, so he's currently on the campaign trail. Meyer said education is the most important issue on his platform. Tuesday morning, he attended a teacher pay task force meeting at the General Assembly in Raleigh. The major takeaway from the discussions, Meyer explained, was that lawmakers are currently considering alternative pay models that could be coupled with strong student performances in the classroom. He said in theory it is a good idea, but state leaders have not devised a clear system to offer them statewide. Governor Pat McCrory announced a plan earlier this month to increase starting teacher salary nearly 14% in the next 2 years, but no immediate increase was mentioned for teaching professionals already into their careers.
We've heard the proposal that they'd like to raise the pay for starting teachers so that every teacher in the state would make a minimum of $35,000, which is a step in the right direction. Unfortunately, we heard again this morning that they're not planning to give teachers an across-the-board raise.
Meyer explained that the proposal states that teachers would be stuck at their starting salary for about the first 10 years of their career, and that instructors with more than 9 years of experience would not get a pay raise unless current policies are changed. North Carolina teachers are among the lowest paid in the country, ranking 46th and making less than each surrounding state. The beginning salary for a teacher with less than 6 years of experience is $30,800 for the 2013-2014 school year, according to the North Carolina Department of Public Instruction. Going into their sixth year, teachers currently get $422 added to their base salary. Meyer added that the Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools and Durham Public Schools add salary supplements separate from the state. Stagnant salaries are just one of the many issues that educators have said threaten the education system in North Carolina. Last year, state lawmakers eliminated salary bonuses for teachers with advanced degrees and also nixed teacher tenure.
I want to start to change the narrative about public education and remind people that North Carolina has always relied on its public education system to create opportunity for the next generation of North Carolinians. And we need strong public schools across the state. And that means we have to value the people that work in those schools with compensation and valuing their time and valuing their expertise.
Tuesday morning was only the first meeting of the Educator Effectiveness and Compensation Task Force. Legislators authorized the panel to make recommendations by mid-April, according to the Associated Press. Rachel Nash, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Potential plans for the redevelopment of the area around the Ephesus Fordham Boulevard intersection in Chapel Hill might be delayed until zoning code concerns are addressed. Neil Bench, chair of the Chapel Hill Planning Board, presented a petition to the town council on Monday night about the issues surrounding form-based code, which is a type of zoning new to the town.
The northern part of this area is the gateway to town. The code should specify in more detail the character that the community would like to see in this area around the Fordham-Franklin split.
Using form-based code, the council will set parameters for development, including building height, setbacks, and parking guidelines for each zone. But once these are in place, individual developers won't need to bring their projects before the council if they meet the established criteria. The Ephesus Fordham Renewal Plan is a result of nearly a decade of planning to revitalize an area currently known for vacant lots, confusing intersections, and traffic backups. Bench said that while the board believed that form-based code is appropriate for the area, the current code document is not yet ready to be adopted. He presented a list of suggested amendments and supplemental recommendations to the council.
We'd also like incorporated into the code RCD regulations, tree planting caliper standards, green building and energy efficiency standards, steep slope and other environmental regulations from the existing LUMOs.
Additionally, the board recommended incorporating items into the code such as stormwater management regulations, improvements to street crossings in conjunction with the Booker Creek Trail, the development of an open space green plan, and consideration of an affordable housing plan as well. Bench also said that it should be amended to include a mandatory evaluation of the effectiveness of form-based code 3 years after it's been implemented. Bench said the planning board stance is that of those concerns are addressed, then form-based code will provide an acceptable guide to redevelopment in the Ephesus Fordham area and will benefit the community. Upon revision, the board will then support form-based code for the Ephesus Fordham area to be included into LUMO, or Land Use Management Ordinance, the current set of development regulations for the town. Chapel Hill Mayor Mark Kleinsmith said that the council was not prepared to comment on the planning board's petition, but did state that a work session addressing the issue is scheduled for March 3rd. The council is slated to take a formal vote on the redevelopment plan in late March. WCHL News Time, 7:15. Time now for traffic and weather together. Traffic brought to you this morning by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. Not only serving fresh brewed coffee fast, but also serving the best tasting fountain drinks in town. Made with 100% filtered water, served at 34 degrees. And of course, there's that great chewy ice, guaranteed to taste great at only 79 cents. At Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. Cruisers, good to go. Now with your morning traffic, here's Randy.
Thank you, Ron. NC-54 heading eastbound. Still seeing a little bit of a delay right now between Barbie Chapel Road and I-40. Otherwise, things moving smoothly. MLK, Estes Drive, Franklin Street, 15501 I-40 and the Durham Freeway, as well as elsewhere on NC-54. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do that safely.
Well, so far, so good, I guess.
Not too bad.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carboro weather brought to you by Murphy School Radio, which returns this Saturday, March 1st. Hard to believe it's the beginning of the month already. Great music, comedy, readings, and good old-fashioned fun. Tickets now available at murphyschoolradio.net. Murphy School Radio, a celebration of wit, lit, and music. It is 38 degrees in Chapel Hill, 37 this morning in Carboro. It's always a degree cooler there. Partly sunny, high today in the middle 40s. Tonight we're looking at clear skies with the lows down to the low 20s. Tomorrow, sunny with a high in the low 50s, a little warmer. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the low 20s again. And then on Friday, mostly sunny, cooler with the highs in the low 40s. Looks like a pretty good weekend coming up. We'll be in the low 50s on Saturday. And on Sunday, we'll be in the middle 60s. So it'll be warming up again.
Wake up with Ron Stutz. And remember that we're your station for Carolina, uniquely qualified to bring you the Tar Heels. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. Good morning.
WCHL News Time 717. The sports-related note this morning, former Tar Heel great and New York Knicks point guard Raymond Felton was arrested early Tuesday on 3 firearm possession charges, according to reports. Felton was arrested at 12:50 a.m., several hours after the Knicks lost to the visiting Dallas Mavericks at Madison Square Garden. He was being held on initial charges of criminal possession of a weapon in the second, third, and fourth degrees, according to CNN. Multiple news outlets report that Felton allegedly pointed a gun at his estranged wife, Ariane Raimondo Felton, during a domestic dispute. She later turned the firearm into police. Felton then turned himself in for being in possession of a gun police said he was not registered to have. New York has some of the strictest gun possession laws in the country. Raymond Felton helped lead UNC to an NCAA national championship in 2005. And news around town this morning. You're invited to a Friends of the Downtown monthly meeting tomorrow at the Franklin Hotel in downtown Chapel Hill. This month's speaker is Pam Wall, Executive Director of Kidzoo Children's Museum. The meeting will get started tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. Coffee will be served beginning at 9:30. And if you have not seen King Mackerel and the Blues Are Running, you are in for a treat. You get another opportunity. Three acclaimed Carolina alumni will come together on the UNC campus for a special musical performance at Playmakers Thursday night and Friday night. Bassist and vocalist Don Dixon is a producer who's worked with R.E.M. and Hootie and the Blowfish. Gosh, what a great singer, too. Pianist Bland Simpson has won a Tony Award with the Red Clay Ramblers. And of course, is a creative writing professor in Carolina. And guitarist Jim Wan wrote the music for the Tony-nominated musical Pump Boys and Dinettes, among other things. Together, they comprise the Coastal Cohorts. Their show is entitled King Mackerel and the Blues Are Running, Songs and Stories of the Carolina Coast. The performance is part of UNC's Water in Our World series. Shows are 8 o'clock p.m. both nights. Tickets are available for $15 each from the Memorial Hall box office or for free with a Carolina student ID. That's a terrific show. You got to see it if you haven't already. And even if you have seen it before, go see it again. 719 at WCHL. Time for WCHL Championship Sports. We're going to talk a little baseball coming up in just a few minutes. But first of all, the big story, North Carolina and North Carolina State coming up tonight at PNC Arena, or whatever it's called, in Raleigh. The number 19 North Carolina men's basketball team, 20-7 overall. More importantly, they have won 9 games in a row now, and they'll travel a short distance down I-40 for a game in West Raleigh against in-state rival North Carolina State. Wolfpack comes in 17-10 in the season, and that game happens at 8 o'clock tonight. Our coverage starts early at 6 o'clock. WCHL's Matt Oakes has a preview of what's happening on the court.
The Tar Heels are riding a 9-game winning streak, the longest streak since 2009, into PNC Arena to take on the upset-minded Wolfpack. UNC head coach Roy Williams says NC State star T.J. Warren presents all sorts of problems for both the Carolina defense and the rest of the ACC.
He's really hard to guard. I mean, it's not like he gets out there and they clear the floor and let him go one-on-one or anything. He gets all of it within the offense. He shoots a great percentage. I mean, to me, that's the biggest key. You know, a guy can average a lot, but if you can hold his percentage down, you're still okay. But everybody's tried to hold his percentage down, and nobody's done it.
Even though Carolina held down Warren for a majority of the first half in Carolina's 84-70 home win against NC State on February 1st, Coach Williams says there was no way he was pleased with his defense that day.
I think that our defense is getting better and better, but I mean, against State last time, again, I was looking it up. I think I found it. They shot 65% against us in the second half. So I wasn't going to be bragging about our defense that day, I guarantee you.
Coach Williams says he's not worried about any NCAA tournament bracket projections this time of the year. He instructs his team to stay focused and keep playing hard. If they do that, he says, quote, good things can happen.
Guys, we just got to play. You just got to play. If you play, it takes care of everything, and I really don't. The only thing I said to you guys and my team is that we were in a big hole and they dug themselves out and put us in a position and now some good things can happen. And that's the only thing I say.
There are a couple question marks for the NC State contest. Kennedy Meeks and Leslie McDonald are both banged up, although both assured reporters they planned on being on the court with their team. Coach Williams says he's unsure about Meeks' preparedness for the game because so far his preparation has been restricted to a very different domain from a basketball court, the swimming pool.
We didn't do anything Sunday except for them to come and get treatment. Yesterday we did a little work and Kennedy didn't do anything except go swimming. I don't know how that's going to make him more consistent to answer your question there, but you know, maybe his backstroke will help. But I don't know what we're going to get out of Kennedy today, which means I don't know what we're going to get out of Kennedy tomorrow. So the first thing I'd say is that he's got to be healthy.
The Tar Heels lead the all-time series against the Wolfpack 149-76, and will be hoping to complete a series sweep Wednesday night. Matt Oakes, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
A quick weather note, and we'll get back to Carolina basketball and also Carolina baseball in just a moment here. We just wanted to let you know that we've gotten some calls from WCHL Road Warriors telling us that it's hailing in our community. Oh boy, just what we need, more severe weather. 7:23 at WCHL. Our coverage of the basketball game tonight starts at 6 with an hour-long countdown to tip-off. Let me tell you about the Carolina baseball team. They scored a half dozen runs in the first inning and never looked back yesterday, claiming a 12-1 victory over Appalachian State at the Bosch. Tar Heels now 4-3 on the season. We have Chris McHugh, who spent some time on the mound for the Tar Heels. And Chris, this young pitching staff is coming along pretty well for the Tar Heels.
Yeah, they are. I don't think that they have really had a tough time making that transition from high school to college. And I think that's huge, especially when you have a young team, when you have a steep learning curve that you need to really have accomplished and gotten through. But the freshmen, surprisingly, have actually done really well.
Well, the interesting thing is this year is a little different for North Carolina, always a perennial contender for the national championship and for, you know, high expectations getting to the College World Series and all that. But Carolina did not come into this season with a very high national ranking. Now you're ranked number 17. That just kind of points up how young this Tar Heel team is. And there's some fresh faces out there for the Tar Heels. Next up, a home series starting Friday afternoon at 3 against North Florida. What are you guys, this early in the season, when it's really cold and, you know, everybody just getting started, what's your goal for this early in the season for this team?
There's usually not really much difference. We pretty much plan our whole entire schedule, and we work back from June. We're expected to go to Omaha. We want to go to Omaha, and that's obviously our main goal at the end of the season is to win a national championship, so... We're always geared up towards that. Even in the weight room, we have the weather in Omaha, and we write up on the whiteboard just to keep everyone and their minds just geared towards that. So I think that's kind of what gets through, you know, regardless of the weather or, you know, what's going on within our team, I think just the overall goal kind of just gets us through everything.
Well, that is fantastic. Mike Fox has built this program to such a degree that everybody has such high expectations. I know it adds a little pressure, but you guys like the pressure, right?
Yeah, I guess it kind of depends. I've always loved being in pressure situations, and I think the best players, especially position player-wise, those the guys that love to thrive under pressure are the ones that are going to be playing and the ones that are really going to help us get to a national championship.
Well, Chris McHugh, thank you for being with us so early this morning, and good luck on Friday and this weekend against North Florida. I appreciate your talking with us this morning.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Chris McHugh, pitcher for the Tar Heel baseball team. And if you haven't been out to see this team play, you need to get out there to Boshammer Stadium. Beautiful baseball stadium, beautiful atmosphere. And this team is really promising, as always. And you will be highly entertained. It's going to be a lot of fun for you. This quick note here about high school basketball now. The Orange Panthers and the Chapel Hill Tigers meet the third time this season. Tonight, this time it's winter. Go home. Season is all over. WCHL's Rand Norton has details.
The Panthers are the North Carolina High School Athletic Association 3A East Regional number one seed and breezed past their first-round opponents, the South Brunswick Cougars, 75-51. The number 16-seeded Tigers had a bit of a tougher opening round, taking the 55-53 victory with a make at the buzzer against the number 17-seeded Western Guilford Hornets. The Panthers swept the regular season against the Tigers with a 25-point victory in mid-January and a 6-point decision in early February. However, those were the only Big 8 Conference losses for Chapel Hill, and Orange dropped back-to-back games to Cardinal Gibbons and Southern for a share of the regular season conference title. Both teams were supposed to meet in the Big 8 Tournament Championship game, but number 3 seed Southern took down Chapel Hill in the semifinals, 52-48, and the next day went on to steal the title away from Orange, 67-53. Southern advanced to the second round of the state playoffs with a 72-62 win against Southern Nash Monday night. The Spartans are the East Regional number 13 seed and host the number 29-seeded McMichael Phoenix after they upset the number 4-seeded Triton Hawks in the opening round. If the winning continues, the Spartans could meet Chapel Hill or Orange in the sectional final, which takes place Tuesday, March 4th. Due to the broadcast of the UNC men's basketball game against NC State, WCHL Championship Sports will broadcast the Orange-Chapel Hill game exclusively on chapelboro.com. Pre-game coverage begins tonight at 6:30 with the tip-off scheduled for 7 o'clock. Rand Northam, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Thank goodness we have a website that allows us to do that thing. Again, that and once again on chapelboro.com tonight. Thanks, Rand. And round two of the 2A and 3A North Carolina High School Athletic Association girls basketball playoffs continue tonight with three area teams looking for more. No one was surprised by the 60-point victory handed out by the 3A NCHSAA Girls East Regional number one seed Chapel Hill against number 32 seed Topsail. Tigers are averaging 40-plus points wins this season, carrying their 27-0 record into the second round. Chapel Hill will host number 16 seed Swansboro out of the Coastal Conference tonight. In the Coastal Championship, Swansboro lost to West Craven 58-26. The only loss of the season for West Craven was by the hands of Chapel Hill, 76-52 at the high school OT holiday tournament. They've been so dominant. Wednesday night's game, tonight's game between Chapel Hill and Swansboro will tip off at 6 at Chapel Hill High School. Conference foe Cardinal Gibbons came as close as any 3A team this season to knocking off Chapel Hill in the Big 8 title game. The number 10 seed Crusaders continue with round 2 play tonight at 7 against the number 7 seed Eastern Wayne Warriors in Goldsboro. The number 24 Carrboro girls advance to the second round with the biggest upset of day 1 of the 2A North Carolina High School Athletic Association playoffs. The number 8 seed Bedingfield Bruins, who went unbeaten at 10-0 in the Eastern Plains Conference season, host the Jaguars in Wilson tonight at 7. Follow at WCHL Sports on Twitter for updates of the second round matchups. WCHL Championship Sports will broadcast a third round game on Friday night. And once again, coverage of the Carolina NC State game will begin tonight at 6 o'clock with Countdown to Tip-Off on WCHL. Game time, 8 o'clock in West Raleigh. I'm Ron Stutz.
Our Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
What's the difference between Raymond Felton and Plexico Burris? Hopefully a lot. This is Art Chansky with Wednesday Sports Notebook. Probably right about now, Raymond Felton wishes he was back at Carolina, getting ready to play the NC State Wolfpack tonight. Life was so grand then. Felton wasn't even fazed by playing a season for Matt Doherty. 2 years later, he won a national championship for Ole Roy, and he was the toast of this town. Today, Felton is a New York Knick on a city ledge. He was charged with felonious possession of an unregistered firearm turned in by his estranged wife, from whom he is seeking a divorce after only 2 years. This is Ray Stint in New York, where he has been the toast of that town twice. But this season is his worst statistically since he was a first-round draft choice in 2005. Domestic problems and another terrible team are obviously plaguing Felton, but now he has a much bigger problem and a scary precedent staring him in the face. Plexico Burress, the wide receiver for the New York Giants who caught the winning TD pass in the Super Bowl to spoil New England's perfect season, spent almost 2 years in prison after his unregistered gun went off accidentally in a New York City nightclub, shooting himself in the leg. Mayor Michael Bloomberg was on the warpath over illegal firearms and promised Burress would be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. And this was a true New York sports hero. Forever, how long that mantle lasts, instead of the point guard for a pointless NBA team. Fortunately for Felton, Bloomberg is no longer the mayor. But if successor Bill de Blasio takes the same stance, Felton could be going away for a while. Besides the change in mayors and perhaps less emphasis on illegal guns, another difference in the two cases is that Plex's pistol actually went off, even if accidentally. Who shoots himself in the leg on purpose? And whether Felton actually pointed the gun at his wife, as she originally claims, remains to be seen. His penalty for now, after posting bail, is having to finish the season with the dreadful Knicks, who are falling out of the NBA playoff chase deeper by the day. Things can change quickly, especially when you become an instant millionaire, marry a woman by mistake, and it all happens in New York City. Unlike in Chapel Hill, up there, everybody definitely doesn't love Raymond. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
Orthopedic injuries can make even the smallest movements difficult. That's why UNC Orthopedics has made it even easier to get the care you need. Many of our services are located in a convenient facility on Highway 54 in Chapel Hill. The same exceptional care is available in sports medicine, total joints, bone health, orthopedic prompt care, and our fragility fracture program. For information, visit uncortho.org.
If you're over 60 and young at heart, you're looking for more than just a place to live out your years. You're looking for the Cedars of Chapel Hill. Our unique community in Metamot offers you all the independence and financial benefits of owning your own home without all the hassles, so you can pursue other goals and also enjoy the peace of mind of having a continuing health care plan in place. Make your next chapter in life your best chapter. Call us to learn more about the Cedars. Life has been good to you. At the Cedars, it gets even better.
At Five Guys, they're in business to sell quality burgers, period. Nothing beats Five Guys hand-formed patties of fresh ground beef piled high with any or all 15 free toppings. And who can resist Five Guys fresh-cut Idaho fries cooked in trans-fat and cholesterol-free peanut oil? It's no wonder that Five Guys has been Sagat survey rated for 11 years. Stop by the new location at Meadowmont Village to see what all the buzz is about. For more locations and hours, visit fiveguys.com.
Today's offer at ourlocaldeal.com is from Liberty Tax Service. It's half off. $200 worth of tax preparation services available now for only $100. It's tax season again, and April 15th will be here before you know it. You know what that means, scrambling around to finish your dreaded tax return. This year, there's no need to panic because today's deal has you covered. They promise friendly and accurate calculations with a money-back guarantee. Let the professionals at Liberty Tax Service handle your taxes. It's half off from Liberty Tax Service. It's available for a limited time, so buy it now at ourlocaldeal.com.
Good morning, it's 7:34 at WCHL. Very strange happenings with the weather this morning. 37 degrees in Chapel Hill right now. Partly sunny, look for a high today in the middle 40s, but we have had several reports of hail in our community and even report or two about a little light snow. Nothing sticking to the ground, no problems caused by it, anything like that, but it is rather unexpected that we're getting that this morning. We're supposed to have a sunny day, but a little hail coming down and some snow out there too, so just be on the lookout for that.
97.9 FM WCHL is Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station, and streaming live 24/7 at chapelborough.com. There's an app for that.
This hour of the morning news with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant, open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
WCHL News, Talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
735 at WCHL. It is 37 degrees, hail and snow coming down right now. Otherwise, it's supposed to be a nice sunny day for the most part. Carborough Alderman Damon Siles started off last night's Board of Aldermen meeting with a highly anticipated announcement about the proposed light rail system between Orange and Durham counties. WCHL's Danny Hooley has more on the story. Good news to report this morning.
Tuesday night's agenda at Carborough's Board of Aldermen meeting was fairly routine business. There were scheduled votes on language to be added to the town's land use ordinance, as well as appointments to town boards. But Alderman Damon Siles started things off on a high note for his colleagues with this announcement.
I'm just really happy to be able to share the news that came out just late this afternoon that the Federal Transit Administration announced that they have approved Triangle Transit's request to move the Durham-Orange Light Rail Project into project development phase.
Wow.
That's the big news we've all been waiting for and really kind of expecting.
That begins a two-year process in which Triangle Transit studies the environmental impact of the proposed light rail system. After Tuesday night's meeting, Siles talked to WCHL about the significance of the news.
In the life of a large capital project like a light rail project of this kind, this is a major step in the process. And so to have cleared this hurdle with the Federal Transit Administration is not only a validation of the work that all the planners and the voters and everyone in the community has been doing, but also is a vote of confidence by the federal government that they see this project having merit and it's something they're willing to invest money and time in.
The 17-mile light rail system between UNC Hospitals and Alston Avenue in Durham is part of the larger Orange County Bus and Rail Investment Plan slated for the next two decades. The light rail has a projected start of service in 2026. For more on this story, you can read about it at chapelboro.com. Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
State House 50 Representative Greg Meyer said that teacher morale in our local school districts and across North Carolina is currently the lowest he's experienced during his career in public education. Teachers in our state have gone 6 years without a real pay raise, in addition to other setbacks. WCHL's Rachel Nash has more.
Well, the General Assembly talks about recruiting and retaining teachers. They have to remember there's a third R, and that's respecting teachers.
That's Meyer, who is also the Director of Student Equity and Volunteer Services for Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools. Meyer was appointed to the House 50 seat in October of last year. However, the General Assembly doesn't reconvene for the short session until May 14th, and the 2014 primary is May 6th, so he's currently on the campaign trail. Meyer said education is the most important issue on his platform. Tuesday morning, he attended a teacher pay task force meeting at the General Assembly in Raleigh. The major takeaway from the discussions, Meyer explained, was that lawmakers are currently considering alternative pay models that could be coupled with strong student performances in the classroom. He said in theory it is a good idea, but state leaders have not devised a clear system to offer them statewide. Governor Pat McCrory announced a plan earlier this month to increase starting teacher salary nearly 14% in the next 2 years, but no immediate increase was mentioned for teaching professionals already into their careers.
We've heard the proposals that they'd like to raise the pay for starting teachers so that every teacher in the state would make a minimum of $35,000, which is a step in the right direction. Unfortunately, we heard again this morning that they're not planning to give teachers an across-the-board raise.
Meyer explained that the proposal states that teachers would be stuck at their starting salary for about the first 10 years of their career, and that instructors with more than 9 years of experience would not get a pay raise unless current policies are changed. North Carolina teachers are among the lowest paid in the country, ranking 46th and making less than each surrounding state. The beginning salary for a teacher with less than 6 years of experience is $30,800 for the 2013-2014 school year, according to the North Carolina Department of Public Instruction. Going into their sixth year, teachers currently get $422 added to their base salary. Meyer added that the Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools and Durham Public Schools add salary supplements separate from the state. Stagnant salaries are just one of the many issues that educators have said threaten the education system in North Carolina. Last year, state lawmakers eliminated salary bonuses for teachers with advanced degrees and also nixed teacher tenure.
I want to start to change the narrative about public education and remind people that North Carolina has always relied on its public education system to create opportunity for the next generation of North Carolinians. And we need strong public schools across the state, and that means we have to value the people that work in those schools with compensation and valuing their time and valuing their expertise.
Tuesday morning was only the first meeting of the Educator Effectiveness and Compensation Task Force. Legislators authorized the panel to make recommendations by mid-April, according to the Associated Press. Rachel Nash, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
WCHL News Time is 7:40, and coming up, Professor Lou Margolis says, all this for a basketball game? That's today's commentary in just a few minutes on WCHL. We're also going to bring you up to date on what's happening at chapelbro.com.
How much should a good kitchen cost? Hi, I'm Bill Cederberg of Cederberg Kitchens and Additions. Since 1986, we've been helping Chapelhillians fix up their kitchens, baths, basements, and everything in between, turning your dream into reality without busting your budget. We're at Angie's List Super Service Award winner 3 years running with 3 decades of repeat customers. Why tackle remodeling yourself? Let Cederberg Kitchens and Additions guide you through the whole process. Find us on Facebook and visit us at CederbergKitchens.com. Cederberg Kitchens and Additions, our team, your home.
The following 10 seconds of a yodeling pickle is brought to you by Cameron's, now at 300 East Main Street in Carborough. The previous 10 seconds of a yodeling pickle was brought to you by Cameron's, a gallery of gifts, jewelry, cards, and highly entertaining off-the-wall stuff. Cameron's, now at 300 East Main Street in Carborough. Cameron's, a wonderland of gifts.
What I like about Diamonds Direct the most is that Diamonds Direct is truly a diamond importer.
Paul Tacorian, president of Tacori, the most sought-after engagement rings in America, talking about Diamonds Direct.
They have the largest selection of diamonds that you're going to find anywhere, and they have a huge selection of designer engagement rings.
And that selection, says Paul, is critical for guys.
Guys are going to spend a lot of money on a ring, and 70% of women don't like the engagement ring that they have because it's just a plain, generic ring. They want something that's beautiful, unique, and differentiates them from everyone. Else.
Diamonds Direct is proud to be a Tacori Platinum Partner with handcrafted unique designer rings, unbeatable value, and a world-class shopping experience.
Every single person that works in this store, when you come in, you'll see, has such a great passion for helping and informing the customers. What makes Diamonds Direct unique amongst all retailers across North America is that they truly have the largest selection of diamonds that they directly import. And they have every single designer under the sun that you can imagine in their store.
Diamonds Direct Crabtree, outside Crabtree Valley Mall across from Fleming's, official jeweler of the Carolina Hurricanes.
743 at WCHL. Good morning, I'm Ron Stutz, and time now for today's opinion piece on WCHL from UNC Professor Lou Margolis.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Lou Margolis. Now that the snow has melted and the supplies of road salt depleted, I have a question. How are a postponed UNC-Duke basketball game, Thursday night football in Chapel Hill, and bogus courses heavily populated by revenue athletes related? Each is an example of the university compromising its mission of advancing scholarship, research, and service, and I might add common sense, to the rules and demands imposed by other non-educational institutions such as the Atlantic Coast Conference, the NCAA, or ESPN. As of 1:50 p.m. on February 12th, the original game date. Classes were canceled and offices closed, but this effective immediately alert Carolina message somehow did not apply to the basketball game. Indeed, nearly 3 hours later, after hours of relentless snow and increasingly dangerous driving and walking conditions, when any of our mothers would have said, "You are crazy for going out," Alert Carolina notified us that the game was still to be played because, in the words of the Director of Athletics, ACC policy states that we should play the game if the teams, officials, and game operations staff can safely get to the arena. I am curious to know how the leadership of UNC, here on the ground, as the snow and ice accumulated, justified or even rationalized putting so many people in harm's way because of the policies of the ACC. The campus was closed, the roads impassable, even the pedestrian pathways to the basketball arena no doubt treacherous, and yet the game was not postponed until 5:40, well after hardy, or perhaps foolhardy, souls might have set out for the Smith Center, but more importantly, hours after it was plain as a blizzard that the game should be postponed. All for a basketball game. Burdening the citizens of Chapel Hill with a football game on a weeknight and creating bogus courses to keep athletes eligible reflects similar loss of focus on the mission of UNC. I further wonder about creating a dilemma for WCHL. Our fantastic local station thankfully serves at the heart of the emergency preparedness system for severe storms, not only sharing key information about health and safety, but also playing the crucial role of friendly neighbor to those who may be stranded in their homes due to ice or fallen trees. Was WCHL put in the difficult position of having to decide between this critical, sometimes life-saving role and the obligations to basketball sponsors and listeners? I also wonder about the additional burden on firefighters, police, and EMTs to try to balance their essential community functions with a basketball game. Making tough decisions is expected of leaders. Making obvious decisions should be, well, obvious. This is Lou Margolis.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
7:45 at WCHL, Ron Stutz, and he's like the Tasmanian devil, folks. I'm talking about Rand Northam, who is just a veritable whirlwind of activity in the morning. I've gotten him to slow down enough to come in here and talk about chapelbrewer.com.
I'll slow down for you anytime, Ron.
First of all, before you talk about the website and the game tonight and all that stuff, is it still hailing out there or snowing?
Yeah, still getting some reports of hail, some of snow, some of a little bit of rain, too. I mean, it's an interesting little bit. We knew this system was coming, but it's really not a system. It's just a passing shower, if you could even call it that. Really not much of anything out there. So nice to see, maybe. My wife just texted me a little while ago. She said there was a drunk guy at her bus stop this morning.
Oh, no.
He then took his bottle of wine he just finished and threw it in the road.
Oh.
Shattered the bottle. So I put in a nice call to 911 this morning to let them know that there was some broken glass out there so that hopefully they could get it out of the way of people. That was on MLK southbound. Should be cleaned up already. I called a little while ago. So, but she said that that person was then spitting at everyone at the bus stop as well.
Oh, great.
So she's had quite the lovely morning starting things off today.
Yeah, that's a great way to get it started.
Yeah.
What in the world is wrong with him?
I don't know.
Well, stories.
Nothing like drinking wine first thing in the morning, though, I tell you.
Drinking wine, spodiote, drinking wine. Bop, bop, wine, spodiote, drinking wine. Then throwing your bottle in the highway. That's just really unfortunate.
Yeah.
Well, what's happening at chapelbrewer.com?
Well, I do want to reiterate the fact that we're bringing you the big rivalry game, county rivalry game between Orange High School and Chapel Hill High School tonight. It's exclusively on chapelbrewer.com. Tip-off at 7 o'clock. Pre-game coverage beginning at 6:30. Again, that's exclusively on chapelbrewer.com. Of course, UNC NC State tonight will be on the airwaves of WCHL 97.9 FM and 1360 AM. But hopefully you can maybe keep us both tuned on while you're enjoying the evening tonight.
Yep.
D.G. Martin in our lifestyle sections has planting native, saving our diversity. He has a story with UNC TV host of Exploring North Carolina, Tom Earnhardt. So you want to check that out. Also, Valerie Boyle says, "Let's go Heels," treating plantar fasciitis.
Ooh.
Interesting play on words there.
I've dealt with that.
Yeah. It's no fun, that's for sure.
Not.
So those columns up and in our lifestyle section of our website, chapelbrewer.com. We've also got the Hoop It Up with the Heels section, of course, talking about everything UNC basketball, both men's and women's. On our calendar page, lots of great things going on in and around Chapelboro, so you'll want to check all of those out. And make sure, just a little while longer left now, to vote for the best of restaurant bracket. So we want to know what you think. We've gone from 64 teams all the way down to the final four now.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the final four. You want to select those so we can get to the final two and see who our champion is. Just four restaurants left.
You know, the only thing bad about tonight is the fact that, you know, we're carrying the basketball game on chapelbrewer.com, the high school game, and the Tar Heel game, of course, is the fact that you don't get a chance to watch both.
Oh, I know. That's going to be a bummer.
I know you're excited about the high school game, but at the same time, you probably like to watch the Tar Heels pound the Wolfpack.
Yeah, that would be great. I always love seeing that.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, now as we've been looking ahead to the other schedules, it's going to be that way probably for the rest of the high school basketball season because of the ACC tournament. Now, maybe the men's and women's teams of UNC will get an ACC bid that won't conflict with our high school games, and we can get everything on the air, but regardless, we've got the website too, so we're glad to have that. But But that's what we're looking at over the next little bit, because the regional finals are March 8th in Fayetteville, mm-hmm. and the state finals are March 15th in the Dean Smith Center. The Chapel Hill girls, of course, the most likely team to get there, have the chance to play for the state title in the Dean Smith Center. Could be nothing better than that. And, of course, they have to do it with an undefeated record. They can't lose a game before getting there. So it would be an undefeated season and a state title. That's what we're hoping for the Chapel Hill girls.
We welcome the conflict.
That's right.
And remember, if you don't have an app on your phone for chapelboro.com, you can get it very easily. It takes you about 3 minutes to do it.
It's free.
And then you can follow what's going on with a high school game.
Exactly.
Even if you go to the North Carolina State game, you can listen to Rand and the play-by-play.
You've got that just right.
Yeah. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we'll talk to you again in just a few minutes here. Running a little behind schedule this morning, but that's okay. And, in fact, we'll take a look at your traffic and weather together. Next.
Weaver Street Realty is thrilled to welcome Crystal Fisher to the family. An award-winning agent at Community Home Trust for the last 10 years, Crystal is a certified housing counselor ready to help first-time homebuyers. She currently serves on the board of directors for the PTA Thrift Shop and the Greater Chapel Hill Association of Realtors. Crystal Fisher joins Gary Phillips, Louise Barnum, Jay Parker, Don Basnight, Clayton Nell, Bill Mullen, and Terry Turner at Weaver Street Realty. Stop by 116 East Main Street in downtown Carrboro or go to weaverstreetrealty.com to learn more.
Glass Half Full is the friendly neighborhood restaurant, wine bar, and wine shop in the heart of downtown Carrboro. We serve a delicious lunch of fresh salads, soups, and tasty sandwiches, including my favorite lobster rolls and mini burgers, and a soul-satisfying selection of Mediterranean-inspired small plates for dinner. Glass Half Full seasonal contemporary cooking, intriguing wines from around the world, and striking modern design attract discerning friends from around the triangle. So come to Glass Half Full soon for some good food, good drink, and lots of good fun.
Time now for traffic and weather together on WCHL. We'll start with traffic. And once again, here's Rand Northam.
Thank you very much, Ron. Aside from maybe some snow and hail that you might see falling, not causing any problems on the roadways right now, NC 54, 15501 MLK, Estes Drive, Franklin Streets, all moving fairly smoothly. Might see the traffic slowing a little bit right now just because of the morning commute. I-40 moving smoothly. No accidents reported right now. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do that safely.
All right. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carrboro weather forecast is brought to you by Jewel Recycles. Flash! Gold has hit a four-month high. Now might be a good time to sell that old, unused jewelry. Jewel Recycle in University Mall is the place to go. All right, 37 degrees, partly sunny, a little bit of hail this morning, and a little light snow as well. High today in the middle 40s, tonight clear with a low down in the low 20s. Ladies and gentlemen, Wayne Pond joins us now with the word of the day on WCHL. And Wayne, first of all, I would assume that last night's big event at Top of the Hill was a huge success.
It was indeed. The Orange Literacy folks just... Oh, we put on a great show. Good turnout. We had a great time. And, Ron, thanks to you and all the folks at CHL for helping with the getting the word out on that most worthy event, our annual fundraiser. How are you this morning, big guy?
Oh, all right. Struggling a little bit with that crud that everybody has. But other than that, doing okay. Speaking of getting the word out.
Well, I just checked out the front window, and I'm happy to report that in Deep Chatham, I don't see any hail. I don't see any snow. Dogs and cats are not living together. What can I tell you? The weather is pretty normal out here.
All right. Well, that sounds good. I hope it stays that way.
All right. The word of the day. That's what we're on the radio for here. Ron, recently we did credible. Today we're doing credulous. C as in cat. C-R-E-D-U-L-O-U-S. C-R-E-D-U-L-O-U-S. Credulous. Can you help me with the definition here? This is an adjective.
I'm pretty much out of time. Why don't you go ahead and tell it?
Ready to believe anything. So, are you happy with that?
Yeah, that sounds good.
All right, we're out of time. We'll talk later. Bye.
It sounds good, buddy. Wayne Pond's word of the day on WCHL, brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else? Next hour, you'll have an opportunity to call in and tell me the word of the day. Spell it, define it. If you can do all that, we'll give you a $10 gift card to Cruisers. 7:54, and a good morning to you.
WCHL with the clean joke of the day. I'm Russ Setz, along with Lawrence Stafford.
Hello there.
Hey, Ron, how are you?
All right. How about you?
I'm busy vetting some of the jokes. You know, you never know.
Yeah.
Kind of read through that.
Got to be careful these days.
You know, after that peanut chocolate joke.
I don't ever read them before we put them on the air, but...
True, but I do.
I'm going to leave that one up to you, but my
goodness.
Well, thanks for coming in. I thought you were going to come in at 6 o'clock this morning and be here for the whole show. But that's okay. That's okay.
Normally I do, of course. You know I'm here.
You just show up.
To open the door for you.
Whenever you feel like it.
You know, I'm here with Cleveland Ron. Yeah, right.
Oh, I know you are.
There's not a person on this planet who gets up as often, as early, as continuous for many years as you have had to do, Ron.
Well, there's not a person on this planet would believe what you just said anyway.
Well, that's okay. Yeah. We know it's true, and that's why we love you.
Yeah, well, I'm talking about you, you know.
Oh, well, thank you.
I know that there's no way you would be up here at 6 o'clock every morning.
No, I am certainly not a morning person. You, thankfully, hold down the fort in the morning, and I'm more of the evening, weekend events type of person that we have to put on.
Well, actually, you know what's really crazy is I'm not really naturally a morning person either. I've just been doing this so long, I'm kind of used to it.
Right.
But given the opportunity, I would sleep till 11 o'clock every day and stay up until 3.
See, that's me. My weekends, you know, I know a lot of people say you kind of grow out of it, right? But I don't know about you. I I enjoy my sleeping on the weekends.
I
count down every week. I'm like, Saturday, I'm going to turn that alarm off and not even look at it or roll over, you know.
They say you can't make it up, but I do.
I do. Oh, I certainly do.
All the time. Yeah.
There's nothing like waking up and knowing you can roll over and go back to bed and don't have to be up.
Exactly.
All right. Well, anyway, a little sidestep note on that.
Exactly, yeah. Now that we've profiled our personalities for you, what kind of joke you got?
I have another joke. I was about to say, I thought maybe it was going to be another pastor church joke, but no, let's take a break from that.
Okay.
All right. Moses was walking down the street when he bumped into George W. Bush.
This sort of has something to do with church. Moses.
You're right. A little bit. It does. Okay. Hello, Bush said. How about this weather? But Moses hurried across the street as fast as he could. The next day, Moses was walking down the street and saw George Bush coming his way. And this time, he ran across the street before Bush even got a chance to speak to him. Hey, Bush yelled, running after Moses. What's your problem? Sorry, Moses said, but the last time I talked to a Bush, I spent 40 years lost in the desert.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights a great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
We spotlight a couple of hometown heroes today, Pat Garavaglia and Sharon Collins, co-owners of Balloons and Tunes in Carrboro.
Pat and I wanted to do something fun and exciting and new and creative, and balloons was right up our alley. And this was years ago, Ron. Started a business with $50, if you can believe it.
Most of our business came from doing a birthday delivery to an office or whatever. We still do that. Most of our business is decorating for big events.
Balloons and Tunes has a store that you can visit. Once again, here's Pat.
We have our store in Carrboro, cards and stuffed animals and little 10-cent toys. But, you know, most of the money that we make comes from doing big events.
The Balloons and Tunes women get involved at a lot of local charities.
The thing that is dearest to our heart is the annual Gifts for Foster Kids for Christmas program that we've been involved in. It have tremendous support from the community, and we managed this past Christmas to provide Christmas for 160-some children in foster care and some other kids that just need a little help. With extra funds that we collected, we were able to support the Orange County Toy Chest.
Sharon Collins says over the years, Balloons and Tunes needed to change.
The number of requests really dropped off. The number of places we were allowed to deliver and sing more and more limited. Public schools, limited access. Research facilities and hospitals, places in RTP, you could no longer go in and make a big production in front of coworkers.
There is a little downtime once in a while. Pat says she's a big Tar Heel fan.
Carolina basketball at every opportunity. Photography and gardening and things like that. Also work with friends of the Orange County Department of Social Services, and I'm also on the Department of Social Services Board of Directors. Extremely fulfilling.
That's pretty cool. You've been in business for 3 decades.
Absolutely. It makes me feel really proud, actually, to keep a small business going for this long, to provide a quality of service that people have been willing to support, to provide employment for people for this long, you know. I mean, I feel really proud of what we've done, and we took took a business that no one had ever heard of having balloons delivered to now. It's important. Everybody needs balloons now, and we feel really proud.
We appreciate our involvement in the community. It has really been a life well lived because of this small business and being introduced to so many cool people.
Sharon Collins and Pat Veragalia at Balloons and Tunes. Today's WCHL Hometown Heroes.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
It's 8 o'clock.
Carolina football.
No, he's not! Yes, he is! Touchdown!
WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
Obese kids could be facing a lifetime of health problems.
In PSAs and public speeches, the war on childhood obesity has been one of the country's top domestic challenges. Now a glimmer of hope. New numbers that suggest a decline. Live to CBS's Heather Bosch.
That hope comes from a respected survey by the Centers for Disease Control.
For the first time, we saw a decrease in obesity in one age group.
Cynthia Ogden says the obesity rate in kids aged 2 to 5 dropped 43%.